Welcome to the Haney Biz Project with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz Companies. He's working tirelessly to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution and share the inspiring stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. This is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown of Sacramento. You know, the Haney Biz Project is based around we have this fascination, Marcus, with, you know, if enough of Sacramento's most successful entrepreneurs help enough of the up-and-coming entrepreneurs, we can change Sacramento. And together, we can change the world. And, you know, it's one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time, and that conversation, it begins with one simple question. Are you hanging or are you banging?
I am banging here. How you doing? Are you hanging or banging today?
Now, when you're banging, you are at your very best. And, you know, when you are hanging, that's good because we all need our downtime. If you've been working at your very best, hopefully you've earned a little bit of hang time, a little time to rest and relax. We did that a little bit last night as we played fantasy football. How'd your team end up last night, by the way?
I ended up pretty good. My quarterback's a little weak, but I
Who
think
is
I got...
Who is your quarterback?
I got Hoyer as my backup.
I have
Come
Russell
on
Williams.
Now, SF, we need you, babe. The Niners, that's my team. I need you.
Well, today...
Who'd you get?
I ended up with a Seattle Seahawks guy.
Oh, Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson. Yeah, he's my starter, it looks like. But good you luck. Know what? We got to hang and have some fun, but you know what? Sometimes you got to be at your very best, and when you have these really cool opportunities, sometimes you need to go out and get some financing. And often, as up and comers, Marcus, we need some advice from senior management, guys who have been there, done that. Now, just thinking about you, Marcus, you're an up and coming entrepreneur. You're building your supply business. You've got some other businesses brewing. Which is more valuable to you, the financial help that you might need at some point, or the financial or the guidance in how to build your business?
That's a tough one. Is there any way to get both? Is that doable?
I think so.
Okay, good. Well, I hope so. With our next guest coming on, I think that these guys can probably bring a lot to the table in that category. So, but I think that ultimately, I would like the knowledge, the business knowledge, because I think you could take that a lot further than cash.
Yeah, the knowledge will take you so much further. And I think as investors or as people that are thinking about how to invest our time in helping the next guy in line, where to invest in these in you up and coming guys, you know, it makes me think about it's like a bet that is placed,
right.
An investment that is placed, and makes me think about the outcome. Are you more of a, would you say you're more of like a Mayweather guy or a McGregor guy? Who should I bet on when I'm thinking about betting on Marcus Haney? Am I betting on Conor McGregor? Are you more the long shot guy?
You know,
or are you the sure
thing? I think that I am a competitor like Conor McGregor, but I also think that I have the precision of Floyd Mayweather, so I think that I could be a combination of both that will be very good for my investors.
Well, you know what? Sometimes, you know, we get into these metaphors, but if we think about investing, it's so complicated. It's such, and
right.
If you're thinking about getting an investment or seeking some advice, sometimes it can feel a little bit intimidating to know how venture capital works and how to put together your pitch deck and what real venture capitalists, what real private equity players are really looking for when they go out to make their bets. It's not like you want to be a lottery ticket, right? You want to be closer to the sure thing, but how do you get there and how you navigate those waters is critical. And I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we waste time wondering what to do. There's so much that is so complicated, but we don't know who to ask, so we sit and we wonder and we really don't get so much done when we're wondering, because wondering, it wastes time. So what do we do? I think the best way to learn, I think, is to get in the game, to figure it out through trial and error. But I think the second best way to learn is by talking to those guys who are in the arena, who have been there, done that, whose face is marred by the dust and sweat and blood that comes with fighting for entrepreneurship. So if we can get those kind of people to help us, it becomes so much more of a practical learning environment. So today we have that opportunity. Later in the show, we're going to meet a warrior of growth equity financing, the managing partner of DCA Capital. Mr. Kurt Rocca is in the house today. But coming up after the break, we will meet a man who has fought to grow several venture-backed businesses. Get ready to meet the co-founder and managing director of Acres Capital, Mr. Roger Acres. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, brought to you courtesy of Five Star Bank. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Now, back to the Haney Biz Project with host Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Sun System Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I am joined by Mr. Roger Acres. How you doing, Roger?
I'm just great.
I appreciate you joining me. We're here in Mark Tank. Last time you were on the show, we were down at the radio station. Now recording here in my office. I got to walk like six steps to get over here to hang out with my good buddy, Roger Acres.
This is so much more comfortable, let me tell you. It's much less intimidating.
Well, welcome back. Today we're talking about investing. We're talking about venture capital. You're an angel investor and a venture capitalist. Maybe you can start by giving us an overview of your background, and then we'll dive into some of the nuts and bolts and see if we can demystify venture capital and angel investing for our listeners.
That'd be great. Well, as everybody that I know knows, I'm the luckiest guy in Sacramento and probably the luckiest guy you've ever met. And part of that, we won't go into all of that, but the reality is I had some great successes early on, and I had some great mentors early on that really helped me understand business and helped me grow personally to be able to handle the rigors of growing businesses, and got to build a successful business from about 1983 up to 95, and I was lucky enough to be able to sell that company, and it was an IT consulting services company, and we had a great success there and made enough money so I get to horse around these days.
You know, we'll talk about some of that luck. You found a way to parlay that luck into some very good skills, right? Some very good wins. Let's talk about some of that too.
Well, and from that, when we got that sold at the right time, I might add, I took some time off. My wife helped me take some time off, and then I kind of reinvented myself and started a little consulting firm and did some work for Intel and Cisco Systems, but just to kind of waste some time to figure out what I really want to do in the future, and then got a partner, and we started Acres Capital and raised the first venture capital fund here in the Sacramento region. And it was small, it was in comparative terms, but it was the type of investing and the type of capital that the region needed, and that's what we thought that this region needed very, very badly. And we were able to put $2 million into a company and have money in reserve to help them into the future. So we got to make a number of great investments in the Western U.S. and here in the Sacramento region and help grow some businesses, grow some great management teams, and ultimately have some great successes.
Well, let's talk about choosing those businesses, because there are so many people that want help from venture capitalists like yourself and like Kurt, who's coming up on the show, and private equity. There's a lot of people that have ideas about growing businesses. How do you decide which businesses, which entrepreneurs are ready for the kind of investment that you want to bring?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I've told this number to a number of people over the years, but since 2000, we've seen about 13,000 business plans.
Wow.
So how do you ever evaluate and do a good job at really evaluating that many business plans? So you have to have a fairly rigorous criteria to be able to do that.
You bet.
And if you evaluate that and say, why did you make the investments that you did, and why did you pick the companies that you did overall, it's all about the people.
Okay.
It's all about the people and the teams of people. Usually, every one of the business models that we ultimately picked to invest in, those business models ultimately changed.
Yeah.
You know, they really did. They didn't stay the same company as they had originally intended them to be.
So you look for a management team or a leadership team that knows how they can adapt to the changes that are going to be inevitably faced on the ground, right? You need somebody who can make the adjustment, the game time decisions.
They have to evolve. They have to be able to evolve on an ongoing basis and look and find where the opportunities are. They have to look at the complementary companies in their space and how to leverage those complementary companies. They need to look at the competition and take whatever information and data that they can from the competitors and really come back and apply that and figure out how to really differentiate themselves in the market.
So that knowledge is important. How important is it to determine the chemistry between the leaders, especially in these early stage companies? How important is it that the founders have worked together in the past?
Well, it's extremely important, and quite honestly, there's a lot of dumb luck involved in that, because a lot of partners ultimately want to kill each other before they're done.
Either way, no matter
process.
When, even if they're brothers, they've known each other since they were kids.
Even more. to your point.
I can relate.
But I'd have to say that you're looking for that great team and that symbiotic team that actually can agree, that at least even through hard times, they continue to have respect for the other members on their team and show real respect to other people on their teams and evolve those teams as they need to. And it's a fascinating process. I would also, just as an adjunct to that, just remember, when you're adding to those teams, it's a tricky thing, because, and people in the investment business help do that organizational development type work as they go along. And I have to tell you, if you get one out of three people that are successful that you hire into those types of situations, you're average.
Yeah.
If you get two out of three, you're better than everybody else. And if you get three out of three, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, how betting on the right horses is so important, whether it's a fight, an MMA fight, or whether it's a business strategy or a business team. But thinking about it from the other side, right? If I'm an entrepreneur, if I have my business plan, my teams coming together, how do I decide what my company is worth? I know that Roger Akers cares about investing in a team that's going to give him the right return on his investment, right? A big return, a winning return. But how do I price my product? How do I price my business if I'm earlier in the game? Maybe I don't even have much revenue yet, or any.
There's a lot of different ways to look at that question. You get pretty analytic and read a lot about that. But at the end of the day, your investor, and the right investor for you, there's a couple of things that you need to look at in the right investor. And it's also a great way to sell to those investors as well. But you really have to identify whether that investor brings the right talent and the right connections and the right capabilities to you to help you grow your business and help you evolve your business on an ongoing basis. It's absolutely critical. And at the same time, you also have to have those investors that are willing to make the right deal for you.
Okay.
You know, if they knock you down and they take whatever you value that business at originally, and they take too much of the business, you're going to resent that as you go along, because you're the one doing the real work for a living, yeah. Right?
There's got to be enough motivation remaining in the thing.
So any good investor has to make it fair for the people that they're putting their lives on the line to go make that company work, and they have to be fair. And if you find those guys that are investing in those kinds of businesses that are trying to be bottom feeders and take every nickel and be unfair in that process and control every single aspect of that business growth, you're going to find that they're the wrong investor, and don't get involved with them if you possibly can. It has to be a fair. Now, just a couple of metrics on that front. Just so you know, I don't care whether you're raising $1 million or you're raising $10 million on your first round. Don't give away more than 33% of your company.
Okay.
Okay? Just don't do it. And they'll try, but just don't do it.
They'll try to take more than 33%. Well, more than 33% up at the first.
Whether it's 10 or 1, you're still going to give up about 33% of the company. And then you'll figure out in order to figure out what the valuation of your company is, that pre-money valuation,
right?
Something that's really important to do there is go figure out how much money you're really going to need to get to your first inflection point, i.e. when you're going to start being able to scale growth and really making revenue, and then what it's going to take to get to a point where you're breaking even and actually really starting to accelerate your business. And when you figure out those two points and how much money that really is going to need, multiply times 2, and that's what your valuation is. It's art, not science.
Wow. Very informative stuff. I think we could talk about this all day long. We're going to bring on a man who knows, has a lot of experience in later stage companies, Mr. Kurt Rocca of DCA Capital. Will be joining us after the break. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to Mark Haney, igniting the entrepreneurial revolution with the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am here with Kurt Rocca, DCA Capital. We've been talking about venture capital with Roger Akers, talking a little bit more about the early stage stuff. Now, at DCA, you typically work with companies that are a little bit more mature, don't you, Kurt?
We do. We're not as smart as Roger. It's hard enough figuring out what businesses are going to work, but when they haven't even really started or scaled, they don't have customer validation, you got to be really smart to figure out which ones of those are going to work.
So once they get up to 10, 20, 30 million, that's when in sales, that's when you guys really take a harder look and say, hey, how do we help you to grow to 50, 100 million? Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly right.
Okay, so talk to us about DCA and maybe how you differentiate from maybe typical private equity.
I think, a couple things. Number one, most private equity groups are buyout oriented, so they want to come in and they want to take control of the company. We don't want to take control of the company. What we do is we go out and we try to find the best management teams who are trying to capitalize on the best business opportunities and become their partner.
Okay.
And when I say become their partner, I mean, capital's the easy part. I mean, it's the ultimate commodity, right? A dollar.
Right.
I mean, every dollar is exactly the same as every other dollar. So it's a function of exactly what you just asked. How do you differentiate? How do you make your dollar different than someone else's dollar? And the way you do that is by rolling up your sleeves and partnering with management teams, whether that's leveraging relationships, rather leveraging past experiences, leveraging market knowledge, whatever it is, we try to find opportunities where we can add value beyond just the dollars that we invest.
Now, it's you're going in and typically investing in the existing management team. They've got a plan that is scalable, and then bringing in a little bit more of your, or some of your advisory skills, your connections, along with the capital, you're taking a minority interest in the companies and then helping them to accelerate their growth. Can you give us some examples of what that might look like?
Sure. I mean, we had one company that was very small. It was about $6 million in revenue, which is below our normal threshold, but a great company, a company down in Fresno, this particular one, and they were very active in the business of online surveys. So sort of a Survey Monkey, but an enterprise version.
Okay.
And it was two guys, a guy out of Stanford and another guy that grew up there in Fresno, and they had been scaling the business nicely, but were just at this wall. And so we provided some capital, only a few million dollars, which was really all they needed. I think Roger mentioned earlier, don't take more money. The best advice for companies, I don't care what stage, don't take money that you don't really understand how you're going to use it.
Okay.
And on the early stage, unfortunately, what you wind up having is people who have never had money, and all of a sudden they have money and they get a little bit drunk with the money they have, and they say, gee, let's try this, let's try that, and all of a sudden the money's gone. Just about the time they figure out how to use money effectively, it's gone, right? And at that point, getting more of it is really, really expensive.
What's the best way to use money when you're talking about growing? Is there acquisitions that might be sitting there ready to happen, or maybe it's some software or a management team that needs to be expanded?
It's a great question, and it's different for every business and every different opportunity. Acquisitions can be great, but also investing in just hiring the best people. A lot of times, one of the biggest mistakes that we see, which isn't the question you asked, but I'll play politician for a minute and answer a question that's similar enough. One of the biggest mistakes that they make is cheaping out on just hiring people that are good enough, instead of going out and saying, who is the best person in the world? My opportunity is worthy of the best person in the world in this discipline wanting to come to work here, and going out and getting them, going out and selling your story. It's selling your story to attract capital is no different than selling your story to attract talent. And people get really good at it at some point in terms of trying to raise capital. And if they take that same discipline, trying to get the best possible people on their team, they'll be much more successful.
And, I think about that a lot of times. As CEOs, typically, we're the ones that are making the molecules move, right? We are pitching or are working in a sales process to raise capital, to get those customers, to employees, as you talked about, and to get the customers. But what I'm going to suggest, maybe we demystify this process a little bit for the average person who might not quite know what private equity or growth equity financing, the process might look like. So I'm a small business person. Let's say I'm $6 million, $10 million, $15 million, and I come to you and I want some financing to grow my company. Let's say I want to make some acquisitions. Walk us through that process. Where does it begin? And then at the end, I'm assuming the company has grown and maybe has a nice exit for them and for the ownership and their families. Walk us through that process. What are the key points in time that might be kind of complicated for people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way in my mind to demystify it and put it in terms that are really simple that everybody can relate to, and that is just, it's no different than bringing on a business partner.
Okay.
Right? That's all you're doing. At the end of the day, that's all you really are doing is you're going out and saying, gee, you know what? I could use a business partner. Well, gee, what characteristics would I like the perfect business partner to have? Well, I'd like them to be rich.
Okay.
You know, I'd like them to have some relevant experience. I'd like to have them have some relationships that I could leverage. You know, you just look at what is your ideal vision look like for a business partner and then go out and interview people, right? Mm-hmm. And a private equity group is one person that could fit that profile, but Mark Haney is someone else that might fit that profile, right? There's a lot of people, and the key is really just thinking about it in terms of, gee, I could really, what more could I do with my business if I wasn't limited by capital? Mm-hmm. Right? And if the vision for what you can do, if people can take those blinders off and help take off the self-imposed limitations that they kind of right. the self-speak of saying, gee, I can only do this because, you know, get the becauses out of the way and say, no, what could I do if I eliminated all these things that I think are barriers? And then look at, okay, in order to do that, what's it going to take? And then go out and find what it is. If it's capital, find capital. If it's expertise, find expertise. If it's great people, find great people. And if you can have someone, and that's what we at DCA try to do, is be a catalyst for all of that, right? We can provide the capital. We can provide the relationships. We can provide the expertise. And the biggest thing that we're very passionate about in everything we do, whether it's our M&A side or our private equity side, it's all about alignment of interests. And mm-hmm. I think that is probably the ultimate answer to your question is what are you looking for in that partner? Is make sure that everybody's trying to accomplish the same things for the same reasons, because ultimately you're going to wind up having some tough conversations along the way.
You bet.
And it's, you know, when you have those tough conversations, they're a lot easier to have if everybody knows that everybody's trying to accomplish the same objective, even though they may have a different roadmap of how to get there.
And when you partner with a DCA or another growth equity financing, or even a Mark Haney, mine might be different, but a lot of funds are set up to mature after a certain amount of time, 10 years, let's say, on average. So you don't want to hold these investments indefinitely. Your goals, typically, as DCA, is to help grow that company, and then at some point, there's a liquidity event, a very cool exit for everybody. Is that...
That's exactly right. Generally, we like to hold things for about 5 years.
Okay.
So we're looking for business owners that have at least another good 5 years mm-hmm. of runway in them. And in some cases, we've exited investments just because the timing was right and the company was wildly successful after we invested. We've invested in, or we've divested our stake in as little as 3.5 years.
Okay.
But we tend to think of it in a five-year holding pattern.
And, you know, when we come back, I'm going to bring Roger back on, and the three of us will talk about maybe any blurred lines that exist between private equity, venture capital, and angel financing. Is, you know, those things can seem a little bit overwhelming. Which way is the best way to turn based upon the size of my company? Where's the best place to go get the advice just to start taking a baby step? And we'll talk about that stuff when we come back. We'll get Roger Akers back on here, also going to talk about the Capital Cup and some great things that both of you guys are doing right here in our region. This is the Haney Biz Project.
And now back to the Haney Biz Project with investorpreneur Mark Haney.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you courtesy of accounting firm Clifton Larson Allen. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by Kurt Rocca and Roger Akers this morning. And we've been talking about investments, earlier stage investments, what it's like at a little bit later stage. And I'm kind of wondering, maybe I'll start with you, Roger. Are you seeing the lines being blurred between the angel investing community, the venture capitalists, and the private equity and the growth equity players? How are those lines being blurred?
Well, that's a great question. I think the blur comes from the a lot of angel investors trying to follow the VCs and be part of a VC round as an angel.
Okay.
And you see a lot of that occurring out there.
The angels investing basically at the same time.
At the same time, okay. or trying to just follow, be with the bigger money as it comes in. Investing in underfunded projects is a death knell for a lot of angel investors. That's why they all sit around and grump around and say, I never make any money on angel investing. Well, the reality is a lot of times they don't have the skill, the expertise to do the proper evaluation, due diligence for the amount of money that they're going to do, nor do they want to put that much time into it. And so they try to follow people that actually do that kind of stuff for a living.
Is that a smart move?
Absolutely. but there are some great angel investors out there that do know what they're doing and that can bring real value to the investors that aren't necessarily in that venture arena.
And can help you through those early stages to get to the A round or the B round.
Well, how much fun would it be if you had somebody on your team that could go negotiate the teeth out of the venture capitalists?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I feel like between Kurt Rocca and Roger Akers, I feel like you guys are kind of on my team, so I may get in your hip pocket a little bit and try to continue to learn and maybe invest alongside you guys if I can. But Kurt, thinking about these later stage companies and the blurred lines, how often are you tempted to look at companies that maybe are a little bit less mature?
Yeah, we've done it. There's okay. No question. And we've had a lot of success in doing it. For us, the real key is how strong is the management team and how clear is that path to getting to be a private equity type company? We actually co-invested with a venture group in one of the deals. It was sort of at that cusp. It was a little bit small for us. It was a little bit big for them. And we co-invested in the deal for about, I don't even remember, 7 or 8 months probably. And we said, look, this is likely to shake out one way or the other. It's either going to grow much more quickly and it's going to be more comfortable for us to continue with the investment, or it's going to struggle a bit and it's going to be more comfortable for you. As it turned out, the company struggled a bit. It was more of a venture play than it was a private equity play. The venture capital group bought us out.
Okay.
And they now doubled their holdings. And
everybody wins.
Everybody wins. The company got the benefit of both perspectives early on. And I think it was a great model. So the two don't have to, I would say that the fact that there are blurred lines, especially in Sacramento, doesn't really matter because there aren't that many.
Right.
And so my advice to companies is talk to everybody, right? Yeah. There aren't that many to start with, and then figure out who's the best fit for you, and they're going to tell you.
And Sacramento, I don't know if for you guys who have been doing this for a long time and you guys invest all over the country, but you have a focus here in Sacramento with it being our hometown. And I've talked to both of you guys about the importance of entrepreneurs winning in our hometown. It does so much when a small business grows here locally, and economic growth and jobs and all that kind of good stuff that happens when businesses thrive. Now, Roger, thinking over to you, in Sacramento, you've talked about the people who help make that happen in Sacramento. You've recognized attorneys and accountants and other folks that are so important. So that advisory team in helping a company grow here in our region, and how strong we really are when it comes to that supporting cast.
Well, we have a lot of great resources. One of them is Kurt across the way here. As much time as he gives of himself, as well as many, many other people in the region. How much time does Moneta Ventures and Lokesh Sakari and those guys, how much time do they spend mentoring companies to get them to a point where they can make those kinds of investments? And a lot of the angels, like the Sacramento Angels Group, they mentor all kinds of companies through that facility. McClellan Park, I was just meeting with them the other day. The program that they've got going out there to mentor companies is just an incredible group of people. They're easy to find. They're easy to find as long as you want the help. But, if you have a bunch of engineers that are trying to build a company and they think that their baby's going to be the best and they're building it, and a lot of people are a little afraid to ask for help. Maybe they think they've got all the answers, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you need to throw off a few of those things and just go ask some people what they think and see what you can learn, because there's a lot to know.
Don't you think, Roger, that as often as not, it's that they know they don't have all the answers and they just don't want to be vulnerable?
I think that's absolutely true. If they've got an IQ of 170 and yet they still don't have the answer and they're kind of embarrassed that they don't, which is not good thinking.
And the unfortunate, I'm sorry to
go
cut
ahead,
you off,
Kurt.
Mark, but I was going to say that the thing that you know, I now know, because my background was coming from the entrepreneurial world, right? And I was a business guy, and I was out raising money and doing all these things. And at the time, I had no idea that there were people like Roger and people like myself now who spend 50% of our time trying to find great companies to invest in.
Right.
I figured, no, it was just my job as the business person to go out and find that needle in the haystack and beg and plead for them to give me money and prove my worth. But what I had no idea is they were just as interested in finding me as I was in finding them.
Well, in DCA, you guys put on, I mean, I'm in the SAC Angels with Roger. I'm invested into DCA, so I'm around you guys a lot, and I feel privileged to have that. But DCA, Kurt, you and Steve and the group, you guys put on some great events over there. So when people are thinking, well, how do I meet guys like Kurt Rocca or Roger Akers, the other people in the investment community, I can go to a DCA Capital event. I know you guys have an event coming up where you brought in a panel to help talk about sales.
That's right? Yep.
And I noticed I wasn't on that panel because I don't know if it's the JV team that's on the panel. Who are these guys?
You were I think it conflicted with one of your radio shows, one of your social investments.
I will be there clapping and learning as well. But in an event like what you guys have, I'm looking at it's September 13th. You can go and think about how to grow, how to raise capital from your customer, right? How to sell stuff. That's as important as anything in building these businesses.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And that's why we've partnered with Sac State, Moss Adams, Wells Fargo, InterWest Insurance. I mean, a lot of the same people, as Roger said, there's the same group that really invests a lot in giving back to the community, Weintraub Tobin. And it's the same people, and so we try to support them. They support the community. But we do these events at Sac State. We do them 3 times a year, and we bring in a keynote speaker, some second-rate panelists. We'll do better next time, Mark.
And that is totally a joke to any of the panelists. I didn't even look to see who was on there. I just knew my name wasn't called.
The keynote had a short list of people he didn't want on the panel because he was afraid they'd show him up, and you were on that list, okay. Unfortunately.
I have to tell you, the amount of time and effort that DCA puts into those programs and the bringing the people together, I'll tell you, some of the best keynote speakers I've heard in this region for the last 15 years came through that program.
Yeah.
One on millennials, you know, you go, millennials, who cares about millennials? You know that thought process.
But
the fact
good,
of the matter, they're the new workforce, right?
Yes.
So if you don't understand what they're doing, it was one of the best keynote speeches by this woman that in one of these DCA programs that I've ever heard in my life.
Well, if we can focus too, I mean, you guys do so much for this community, but one of the things that I am promising, I promised myself to talk about today is the Capital Cup. Both of you are leaders in this very important golf tournament that lasts multiple days. Kurt, you're wearing the shirt. Give us an overview. What's the Capital Cup all about? What should we know?
So we've got 28 local business leaders, and those are bankers, accountants, you know, investors like Roger, and a lot of C-level executives, mainly CEOs and business owners, that paid $2,500 just for the opportunity to play in this 3-day golf event and to raise money for a charity that they were passionate about. You know, most of the golf tournaments, I was involved with the American Cancer Society golf tournament, Roger was as well for a number of years and still are. But you have a lot of these golf tournaments, and they have hundreds of volunteers, and they work their buns off, and they raise, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. And as business people, we get, you know, we could play golf, you know, at these charity deals like every week.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's just no time to be able to do it. And so the concept was, let's put together one event that allows everybody involved to pick a charity and raise money for that particular charity, but have, by virtue of the fact that you have this event, it's almost like the big day of giving.
Uh-huh.
It feeds on itself. And so, for example, I mean, last year we raised almost $750,000
wow.
in 3 days of a golf tournament. The average golf tournament raises less than 30.
And right now you guys are sitting at 667 or 675, something like that. You need another 350 to reach your $1 million goal. Roger, you're on the blue team. Kurt is on the red team, so you guys will be competing with one another, but you're on your way to the goal. But talk to us about your cause. I went out to Topgolf with you the other day, and that cause is very personal to you.
Well, when you're a cancer survivor, you're motivated, and you also see the people that aren't going to make it by having cancer, which are close and dear to all of us as we go along the way. And so American Cancer Society is my, and they've been my charity for the last 3 years, being part of the Capital Cup. And we've had some great success in raising money through ACS. But, you know, it's not just about ACS, and don't get me wrong, send all your money to ACS to me. We're happy to take it. No problem with that. But I have to tell you, if you just have a list of the different charities that are involved and the amount of money that's being raised, you have Boys and Girls Clubs, Easter Seals, American Cancer, First Tee, Cristo Rey High School, American Heart Association, on and on and on, and the guys that are involved with this golf tournament are just incredible people. It's been a great treat for me to get to know some of the people that I didn't know that are great leaders in our region and mm-hmm. and have a great giving heart and want to give back. And that starts with, you know, how many superlatives can you have for Kurt Rocca? Because let me tell you, him and his organization, they bust their butts every single day to give back to the community, and they also make a lot of money, but they give back every bit of it. I think the way I keep my ledger, they give back more than they get. But being said, I'm going to interrupt you just for a sec. Is just so you know, with the amount of money, the $1.4 million that was raised in the first 2 years, and the million that's going to get raised this year. The amount of public exposure and the amount of recognition for that great feat needs to be further recognized in our community and fully understood in our community, and people need to get even further behind it than they have so far. It is a great effort, and literally 100% of the money that's raised goes directly to the charities. It's not used for expenses or for us to drink a bunch of free booze or a bunch of that kind of stuff. So
We buy our own booze.
You know what? You guys are entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs. You guys have had your own success in your life, and you're continuing to help other entrepreneurs, you know, build these businesses, but doing it in a way that is so good for Sacramento, so good for people who are trying to figure out, you know, how to deal with these extremely difficult issues, whether it be the, you know, the Cancer Society or the Big Brothers and Big Sisters or
And Lymphoma Society. Oh, don't be forgetting that one.
Yes, and Tom Kandrius, the entrepreneur next door to me. I'm helping him out a little bit with his. I think his is the
American
the
Heart Association.
Heart Association. Yeah. So many different things that we battle, I guess, and it's up to the leaders of Sacramento to step up and I guess lead by example, and that's what you guys do every day. So I want to thank you guys for coming on the show today and for sharing your words of wisdom. And Kurt's volunteered to interview me at a later date, so one of these days we're going to get Kurt back on here to turn the tables on me and get to know who is the real Mark Haney behind the host.
Get a little jump in there and give a little shout out to a couple of our sponsors.
Great idea.
Wanted to give a shout out to Derek and Murad over at Sun Systems Technology. Thank you so much for all that you do for our show and hooking our building over here at the Allegiant Giving Center.
Yeah, also, we got solar
saving us money. Really appreciate that. And also, Ethan Conrad Properties, all you do for the entrepreneur organization here and the people in Sacramento. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. And, you know, just thinking about all the opportunities that we have here in Sacramento, and again, just want to do one last thank you to you guys. And if you want to get a little more Mark Haney, some people don't want more Mark Haney, but if you do, don't hesitate. I will be out there at the Golf Classic with you guys with the Capital Cup, at least on the third day. I'm going to be at the DCA events and obviously out there at Sac Angels. So look forward to meeting all of you and continuing our journey and our mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. When we come back, we'll have some closing thoughts from today and talk a little bit about what I call the power of with. And this will continue in about 3 minutes, so get yourself ready. This is the Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back for Mark's takeaways from today's Haney Biz Project.
Welcome back to the Haney Biz Project, brought to you by Silver's HR. I'm Mark Haney, and today we've been talking angel investing, venture capital, private equity. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the timing, and the timing to make these investments, the timing to go out and seek these investments. And I guess what I would say around timing is we have to figure out a way to nail down our niche, right? We got to nail the niche, if you will. And when you see those opportunities, when you feel like you're beginning to nail it down, that may be the time to go out and get your financing. And that's also a great time to invest. I like to invest in people who are emerging. They've begun to develop a differentiation, maybe something that's working, but they just need a little bit of help. Marcus, maybe they need a little bit of advisory help, and I can bring my my years of experience to the game, or you know, I can even bring a little bit of capital to the game if the opportunity is right. And so when I think about my portfolio of companies, I think we've got 13 companies in-house, and I'm invested into multiple of the venture capital funds around town and private equity, but I'm also invested into like angel invested a little bit. And one of my, I'll call it my portfolio companies, came to me, Jeff Rizzo. I'm wearing his shirt, Riz knows. This guy is an entrepreneurial stud, and we were talking about something just happened in his business where he was able to basically double it almost overnight. And I was, how did that happen? And how do you feel now? Is what I was asking Jeff. And he said, you know, Mark, back when I was in school, he was getting his finance degree. He was telling me about this study that they did with New York City taxi cab drivers. And it was strange because New York taxi cab drivers, right, they, when it's slow, the study found that the drivers would work the longest hours. When it's slow, boy, you got to work a lot of hours. But when it's busy, when it's hot, when it's those hot times when the cabs are really moving, well, the taxi drivers would work half the number of hours. And he and I kind of looked at each other like, isn't that strange how people have nailed down their niche, but when the getting's good, they aren't doing the getting. So, I mean, I always advise my portfolio companies, my friends, or anybody who's thinking about, Mark, how do I win? When things are starting to click, that is the time to invest. That is the time to go all in. That is the time potentially to seek some investment. So if you are one of those people that are just at the cusp of winning and creating your differentiation, do not start taking the days off. Do not be going to Cabo and relaxing on the beach. You might want to do a little less resting and a little more investing if that is where you are in your life. So congratulations to Jeff Rizno of Riz Knows. He is he's doing great things. Also, a little congratulations to another one of my companies that I'm invested in, SSI. Mr. Todd Flowers has led his team. Just land another $20 million in contracts for, I think, coming up this year. And you know what? This guy is kicking butt because he's nailing his niche. He focuses on casinos. He focuses on the big integration projects around the country, and he's nailing his niche. So again, we can learn a lot from Jeff. I learn from my business partners every day. Nail your niche, but also about the power of with, surrounding yourself with the right people. So if I'm an employee and I got a dream and I got a team around me, I got to go all in right now. But if I'm an employee and I'm not on one of those teams yet, I need to go find that team with the dream. If the team I'm on doesn't have the dream, maybe it's time to rethink what I'm doing with my time. And, you know, just thinking about Sacramento right now and the opportunity that we have with Kurt Rocha and leaders like he and Roger Akers and the way they are here to help us to win and what that does for Sacramento. I just got to give a hometown to salute to these guys and all the other guys right here in our hometown who are leading this entrepreneurial revolution. I mean, let's give a Sacramento shout out and a salute to the leaders of hometown patriotism, Mr. Roger Akers, Mr. Kurt Rocha, to you, Marcus, for all you do fighting for our dream and our way of life, and to all the other guys that are fighting in the streets right now to protect our freedom, right? It is not easy out there, and our heart goes out to all the people who are fighting right here in our homeland and sacrificing for us, to the 13 stripes, to the 50 stars, and to the one big American investment that's always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.